Good morning, everybody, and welcome. The only announcement I have today is that today's collection is for the Foreign Mission, and our order of service will be Levi will do the psalm reading, and Cal will say the prayer, and Tom will bring the message. Are there any other announcements? Okay, we'll start with 495.
Psalm this morning is Psalms 98. I will sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together. Before the Lord, where he cometh to judge the earth, with the righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with iniquity.
Keeping our morning. God's peace. Let us raise our hearts and our thoughts unto the Lord in prayer as we begin our worship service. Father, it is certainly to you that we honor this day, that we are thankful that you've given us this hour to come unto you, to sing praise unto you, to offer up unto you those weights that are heavy upon us. Father, we not all of us are able to wake up in the morning with a joyful heart, to be able to sing first thing in the morning, and we certainly look to you for that leading to give us that joy, and to each other that those lights that light upon the hill and light in the valley, that we can lean on each other and as if looking into your face, that we may glean from that grace that you bestow upon us, that we may be grateful for the mercy that you provide to us, that you withhold that which will be coming someday. We await that day, not so much in that it may come, that we know it will come. And in the meantime, that we know that as those of us who have had some water pass underneath the bridge, that you do turn trouble into delight. You will triumph through the struggles of life and through us, that you ask our lights to be burning. Father, for those in sorrow, we also ask that we could be in sorrow with them, that we can share their burden. We certainly, with Steve and Jackie, as they mourn the passing of a good friend and brother, a soldier, that we can see tomorrow, we can see the joy behind it, that a life well spent is leaves a legacy that is forevermore. And Father, that our investment here in time is unto you, that we look upon you not just for this day, we look upon you for the light that maybe the candle, the wick that needs trimming beside us, and if our light isn't so shining, that we as well can be upheld, and we can be in the presence of your company. Father, take this these greetings, not so much as Cain's offering unto you. We've offered this thought to you before, but even so, that it be upon us, that we would sing aloud unto you that message, that your will is that all of us would believe in your shed blood, that it is through this sacrifice that your Father, our Father, would declare us righteous. And we long for that meeting together. Father, let us come together in that most beautiful prayer that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses. I'm sorry? We trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we continue with 6:50?
Yeah. Before I start, I just wanted to, some of you probably were expecting Steve to be preaching today, so I'll just give you a brief background on that. He texted me, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, and he just said that they'll be traveling on Thursday with the plan of coming back Saturday night so he could preach on Sunday. I said to him, well, I know the relationship that he has with Les and Marcia was quite close. Both families did everything together when Steve and Jackie lived down there. So I was aware of this, and I just said to him, I said, don't worry about Sunday. We'll just figure something out. So I thought that would be the end of the text. I thought that would be the close of it. And Steve said, oh, would you be willing to preach on Sunday? That was not what I was expecting, but knowing Steve being responsible and the positions he's held, he's not going to neglect on taking care of that duty. So I might have not responded the way I did if I knew that was going to be the response. But anyway, at the same time, it's an honor and a privilege to read God's word, because that's what we're doing up here, is we're reading God's word. And we're expounding on what we can with it, and we are in hope that we do it justice. And in saying that, may the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love be with you always to the ends of the earth. Last time I spoke on the importance of charity and the examples of charity that we have in the congregation. This one is wisdom. And this one is very important. And it is so important to glean it at a young age. So let's just read the chapter 8 of Proverbs. We'll read it in Jesus' name. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of a high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasure. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the earth, of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundation of the earth, then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. My delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Sanctify these words, Lord, for these words are truth. There are 3 points in the text, and they'll be reading from other versions in Proverbs or other texts in Proverbs. The 3 points I want to make before I mess them up, or possibly mess them up, is number one, the wisdom is the principal thing you need. Number two, if you want to know how much Christ loves you, you need wisdom. Number three, wisdom gives us the ability to be influenced by God much more, and less so of Satan. So, how do we picture wisdom? What do we look for? What does it look like? Well, it describes it here. How do we picture it? And when did she begin? If you look at Proverbs 7:4, verse says, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman." So wisdom is female. Wisdom is an older sister. And the understanding of thy kinswoman is like an aunt. I'm looking at a person that's older, not a younger person. So that's what, when you're picturing wisdom, you're picturing female, not male. When did wisdom begin? That's part of the text here. So let's read that. So if you go to Proverbs, you're staying in Proverbs 8, 22 to 31. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before the works of old. So what is this saying? The Lord possessed me, possessed wisdom, possessed her before his works of old, before creation was. Wisdom was possessed in. The Lord possessed me. It was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Before anything was created, wisdom was there. When there was no death, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, meaning God, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundation of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. So before anything was created, God's daily delight was the sister, wisdom. That was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth. And my delights were in the sons of men. What are the sons of men? The chosen of God. So rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth, and my delights were in the sons of men. How early should we seek wisdom or find wisdom? Some people might think it's when I'm in my 20s or after I graduate from high school, or, yeah, I'm going to smarten up then, I'll glean wisdom. It's actually when you're very young. Probably after you started walking, 2 years old, that's when wisdom is necessary. We go to chapter 4 and read from 1 to 13. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So if you read that and you read verse 8:17, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. So when you're a child, before you're 2 years old, you've learned more in 2 years than you have learned the rest of your life. Right at the point when you're about to walk, that's when parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents, sisters and brothers should be teaching wisdom to children. Now, where do you find wisdom? Where is it found? And I'm not talking worldly wisdom, godly wisdom. That's what I'm. Godly wisdom is found in the Word, in the Scriptures. It's found in the bride of Christ, in the community of saints. It's found in the Holy Spirit. So the ones that have been regenerated and have that encompassing Holy Spirit that indwells and guides and directs them, wisdom is drawing you, compelling you to read and to learn more? As parents, we might say, well, this seems kind of young to be teaching about wisdom. Once they're two, they start walking. And they start rebelling. And they start doing things and going in places that they really shouldn't probably go. So this is important that we teach them about wisdom and what it's all about. If you read Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's talking about wisdom. It's talking about showing your children who God is, what he's about, that God is a loving God. But he's not just a loving God, that God is a just God. God is a God that is jealous. God is a God that is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, gracious, merciful. If you take all the attributes of God and write them down and study those attributes and teach your children at a young age each attribute, they will be gleaning wisdom. They will be gleaning knowledge. They will know who God is. They will know God is loving, but they will also know God is just. They will know God hates sin. They will know God hates the workers of iniquity. They will know that God loves his children. They will know that God will never forsake them nor leave them. So there's so much to wisdom. Now, is my sister quiet or is my sister loud? Sorry to say this, but she's loud. She's loud. If we read the proverb that we just started with, I'll just read it again. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Not too many people that cry are quiet. She standeth in the top of high places. By the way, in the places of the paths. Why high places? She wants to be heard. She cried at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming up at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to who? Who does wisdom cry out to? If you're going to put a resume out there, you're going to be shocked at what she cries out to. This is the qualifications of receiving godly wisdom. You have to be naive. You have to be simple. You have to be lowly. You have to be a fool. You have to be a son of man. And you have to have a lack of understanding. That's who wisdom cries out to. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, the truth of the word, the truth of the gospel, the message of Christ, the attributes of Christ. If you want to know who Jesus is, if you want to study just who Jesus Christ is, just go through all the scriptures of God the Father talking about Jesus Christ, and go through all the scriptures of the Holy Spirit talking about Jesus Christ, and you will find out who Jesus Christ is. If you want to know who God the Father is, go to all the scriptures that Jesus talks about his Father and all the scriptures that the Holy Spirit talks about his Father, and you will know who the Father is. And if you want to know who the Holy Spirit is that dwells you, that embodies you, you read what Jesus Christ says about the Holy Spirit and God the Father says about the Holy Spirit. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the unforgivable. So this is what wisdom is teaching us. It's all the words my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth. Who are the ones that understandeth? The naive, the simple, the lowly, the fools, the sons of men, the one who lack understanding. They understand. The smart, the righteous, the ones that understand everything, they don't have wisdom because it's not given to them. There's certain qualities you have to have, and these are qualities. Being a fool is a quality. Lacking understanding is a quality, because somebody that lacks understanding is going to reach out to learn more. Somebody that knows they're a fool, they're going to want to learn more. So it's important that we know this. It says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. In the 19th verse, it says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. How long does it take to mine an ounce of gold? Anybody know? It averages about 20 hours. 20 hours to mine an ounce of gold. So you've got $1,800 to $2,000. Raise your hands. How many have read the Bible 27 hours this week? 20 hours. I raised my hand just as an example. I haven't read it 20 hours. So if it takes 20 hours to mine an ounce of gold, which is useless, which is basically concrete in heaven, how much more do we have to spend with the Bible, in the Bible, reading the Bible, discerning the Bible, applying the Bible, talking to the body of Christ, communing with the body of Christ, listening to the people in the body of Christ that have wisdom, that have a regenerated heart, that know what wisdom's about. Listening to that still small voice, that Holy Spirit that dwells inside us, the Spirit that continuously tells us to do certain things and continuously tells us to avoid certain things. Wisdom is very loud. If a little girl was walking across the road and you saw a car coming pretty fast, you wouldn't say, wow, that car's going pretty fast. Looks like it's going to hit that kid. Hey, get off the road. You wouldn't be saying that. You'd be screaming. Get off the road. You're going to get hit. Wisdom comes this way to us. It's very, very loud. We can't ignore it. Why is wisdom so important? Well, because it's the principal thing. It gives you the ability to know who God is. It gives you the ability to have knowledge of God. It's the fear of the Lord that begins wisdom. Wisdom teaches you to love the things that God loves and to hate the things that God hates. So it's important that we glean from it through the word as much as we can. It dwells with prudence. What does that mean? Prudence is kind of something that gives you the ability to be cautious. So your aunt is telling you not to do certain things, be cautious before, and especially when you're making big decisions, be cautious. Are you sure this is what you want? Are you sure this is what God wants you to do? Are you sure that this is the direction he wants you to go? So you have your aunt, the kinswoman, giving you the understanding, and you have the direction from wisdom that's helping you with that choice. It creates in you a love for God's word. It gives you counsel. It gives you understanding of God's word. It gives you the ability to give advice, receive advice. It tells you that you're supposed to rebuke people who are wise and not people who are scorners. Why is that? Because they're not going to listen. But if you rebuke somebody that's wise, they will become wiser and you will become wiser for it. So it's important that we have the ability to do that through that Holy Spirit and out of love. So mining for gold takes 20 hours. Gleaning wisdom is going to take probably a lot longer. What does our sister do for us? What does wisdom do for us? Chapter 9, we read from verses 1 to 11. Wisdom hath built it her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. So you have wisdom here preparing a place. Kind of like the New Testament, I prepare a place for you. Wisdom is preparing a place. She built her house. What is it built on? It's built on the foundation of Christ, the Word of God, the attributes of God. She killed her beasts. She mingled her wine, and she has furnished her table. She's ready to serve. And who is she bringing in? The naive, the simple, the ones that want understanding. They're going to receive and eat of the bread, drink of the wine that is mingled. It says, forsake the foolish and live. What does forsaking the foolish and live mean? Is the world, Satan, the flesh, dead to you? Is it dead to you? It has to be dead to you. Because if it's not dead to you, you'll continue to be influenced by that. And this is an ongoing daily battle. But it has to be dead to you. because that influence is so strong. We try to improve ourselves. We try to do certain things. But wisdom says, forsake the foolish. What is foolish? Foolish is trying to think you're going to convert the flesh. Foolish is trying to think that if I go out in the world and be part of the world, that it's not going to influence me. That's foolish. Foolish is something that we should definitely stay away from. But it does say we should rebuke a wicked man. It says here, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. Accountability in the body of Christ. That's what it is. There are no wise people in the flesh. There are no wise people in the world. There are no wise people that Satan has dominion over. You're not rebuking them. You're trying to draw them so that they understand what you have. But we are to hold each other accountable, rebuke each other when we do wrong, because we are the lights in the kingdom. What happens when you don't have wisdom? I'll give you some homework. Read chapter 7. It's not pretty. But when you lack wisdom, that's what happens. Without wisdom, you can't make godly choices. You are predominantly influenced by your flesh, the world, and Satan. You can't see afar off. You can't see what's coming. You can't look afar off and say, if I make this choice, how is it going to affect my family? How is it going to affect the body of Christ? How is it going to affect what God thinks of me? How is it this decision going to make it so that it glorifies God? A person that doesn't have wisdom doesn't look at it that way. They look at it, I'm going to make the decision right now. And I'm not saying you shouldn't make the decisions right now. That's not what I'm saying. But there is prudence, right? If you look at Joshua, he made some pretty quick decisions because he was focusing totally on God's sovereignty. Those are big men over there. Him and Caleb both said that there's giants over there, they're big men, but we can take the land. He made the decision quickly because he was focused on God's sovereignty. So there is times you will make quick decisions, but prudence tells you, is this the right choice? So there's the combination of wisdom and prudence. My prayer is that we would read our Bibles daily. If you're young, read a proverb every day. If it's the 13th, read the 13th proverb. If it's the 14th, read the 14th. If you're old enough to read, it will give you so much knowledge and wisdom of God. My prayer is that parents would influence their children in a way that your children will say, can you read me a Bible story? And you say, yes, I can. And you read them the Bible story. And then you go into the Bible and say, this is where it is in the Bible. And you read the story from the Bible. So you not only read the Bible story, but you read actually what Scripture says. My prayer is that the children would be wise so that they won't fall into choices that they make later on where they're always making choices that would influence the flesh, the world, the devil. They're being influenced by those things instead of godly choices. Wisdom will keep us making godly choices so that God is pleased. And he's not pleased with us. He's pleased because we're being conformed to the image of his Son. We're the bride of Christ. The bride is being conformed. The bride does not get better. The bride does not improve. It's what Christ does with the bride. It's Christ that's going to present the bride blameless and unreprovable to God. It's God, it's Christ that's going to do this. If it takes 20 hours to get an ounce of gold, we got to start pretty young if we're going to have any wisdom. We have to start young. We have to start when we're just about walking. And then by the time they're 10 or 12, they're so solid in the Word. They're so solid in God's promises. They're so solid in that they can see that evil as plain as day. Wisdom will show them that. My prayer is that we would have hearts that would be open and receptive to not only the celebrations of the body, but the hurts of the body. And that we would help each other. That we would have conversations about God, conversations about what he's doing. Less conversations about stuff that doesn't really matter. Are we talking about God, who he is, what he's done? Have you had a good conversation lately about Jesus Christ? Is your conversations predominantly talking about worldly stuff? That tells you kind of where you're at as far as gleaning wisdom. If you're continuously talking at the supper table with your kids, what would God do? What do you think Jesus would do in that case? You're going to find so many answers in the Word. I'll guarantee you, if you do something, you open up your Bible, you read it, you have a problem. Maybe it's fixing an engine, or maybe it's talking to an employee, or maybe whatever it is. You start reading your Bible. You start reading it. And you're reading it, but you're not really paying attention to it. You're just reading. You're not, one pastor says, reading with your boots on means you're studying and you're dissecting every word. And reading with your boots off. When you're reading with your boots off means you're just reading, and you could read 10 chapters in an hour. But those problems that you have, that problem that you couldn't figure out in your engine, it comes to you. Right there and then. You got to stop and go write it down. That's the problem with that. Oh, I was going to tell that person something. Oh, that's where it is. That's why it's so important to just read. There's sometimes we read and you say, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, really? Did you solve the problem of your engine? Did you solve this and solve that and solve this? I guarantee you did. That's a reason to read. Because your problems are going to get solved. Wisdom is going to come to you. The knowledge, the basis, everything is going to come to you at that point in time. And that's just one reason, let alone the other reasons of getting to know who Jesus is and Christ and the Holy Spirit and all the attributes of God and how wonderful he is and how he keeps his promises and how he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he actually says that that's going to happen. It is so important. The wisest person besides Christ was Solomon. You know, he only lived till he was 60 years old. But he wrote 3 books in the Bible. God used him in so many ways. Solomon is a good example of, and at the end of all things, he says, the conclusion of the matter is, when God tells you to do something, I'm just paraphrasing, do it. Just do it. So wisdom is telling you, is crying to you, saying, learn of me at a young age. Learn of me. And this is the principal thing to get is wisdom. The 32nd, I'll read till the end. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, waiting for wisdom to come. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. What is favor of the Lord? It's grace. God favors you over his own son. His son got your sin, you didn't. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Wisdom is the principal thing. Let's continue with the next hymn. Thank you. So you'll notice here that we didn't have any of the small wafers, so there's some wafers here and some bread. There is enough for everybody, but we have to order some of the smaller wafers now. So just so you know, so the routine is to come up, grab yourself a glass and a wafer. There is extra bread there once we run out of the wafers, and anybody that the gluten-free bread is there too. So let's say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray with and for them who now will partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of thy blood, of thy body and blood, that they may receive peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Truly is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, and which was, and which is to come. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us all pray as our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The peace be with you. The peace of the Lord be with you. Take, eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. Let us give thanks and pray. We thank you. We thank thee, O Lord, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. We beseech thee that thou of thy mercy would strengthen us through this communion in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ. Thy dear Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Humble your hearts before the God and receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Lord, make his face shine upon thee, be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's continue with 6 and then the doxology, 670. Thank you.